白宫重申外交抵制北京冬奥会，签证申请只涉及领事和外交安全人员。公民记者张展入狱一周年濒临死亡，无国界记者组织呼吁将其释放。美国大屠杀纪念馆研究者呼吁北京停止在新疆的人权侵犯行为，并希望冬奥会促成改变。各位观众大家好，我是卡拉，欢迎收看美国观察。美国大屠杀纪念馆最近的研究报告称，中国针对维吾尔穆斯林群体的犯罪行为已经升级，研究人员希望冬奥会能够促成改变。今天的节目中我们一同关注。美国观察的节目热线已经开通，欢迎您拨打00212029204990给我们留言，与我们分享您对节目的看法，告诉我们您希望看到的节目内容。针对媒体有关美国政府为18名官员申请签证参加北京冬奥会的报道，美国国家安全委员会发言人12月27号对美国之音表示，外交抵制北京冬奥会的立场不会改变。声明说，我们在本月初宣布的立场仍是我们的立场，不会改变。鉴于中华人民共和国在新疆正在进行的种族灭绝和反人类罪，以及其他侵犯人权的行为，我们将不会有任何外交或官方代表，任何其他的说法都是错误的。声明表示，我们打算提供领事和外交安全服务，也确保我们的运动员、教练员、训练员和工作人员的安全，并能获得我们为所有海外美国公民提供的美国公民服务。任何签证申请都是针对这些领事和外交安全人员，让这些人员在当地工作是标准的做法。这些人员不是参加奥运会的官方或外交代表。12月28号星期二是中国公民记者张展因报道武汉疫情而被判入狱一周年。无国界记者组织星期一发表声明，呼吁中国政府立即释放身体极度虚弱的张展。现年38岁的张展，2020年2月新冠疫情初期，曾以公民记者身份在社交媒体上直播武汉当地的疫情，引起当局不满。去年12月28日，上海浦东人民法院以寻衅滋事罪判处他4年徒刑。张展成为中国因报道武汉疫情而被判入狱的第一人。无国界记者组织在声明中指出，张展为了抗议迫害并表明清白，曾在狱中进行绝食抗议，目前身体状况急剧恶化，甚至濒临死亡。无国界记者呼吁国际社会增加对中国政府的压力，以便让张展获得保外就医或释放。上个月，无国界记者组织曾将2021年度新闻自由勇气奖颁发给张展，并赞扬他的报道是当时外界了解武汉疫情的一个主要的独立消息来源。白宫星期一表示，拜登总统将2022财政年度的国防授权法签署成法律。这部法案授权拨款7770亿美元用于国防开支，比上一财年增加了 5%。法案涉及中国的内容包括用于太平洋威慑倡议的71亿美元，还有一项表达国会支持防卫台湾意愿的声明，以及禁止美国国防部购买新疆强迫劳动产品的规定。本月早些时候，参议院和众议院都以压倒性多数通过了这部法案。美国大屠杀纪念馆最近的研究报告称，中国针对维吾尔穆斯林群体的犯罪行为已经升级。主持研究大屠杀纪念馆防止种族灭绝中心的主任纳奥米·基科勒呼吁，北京立即采取干预措施，制止正在发生的罪行，释放被关押者，确保公正的司法程序，并推进问责。他也希望即将到来的冬奥会能够促成改变。
It's often survivors who...are the ones who go to remarkable lengths to try to document and preserve their history and tell the story. And it's extremely traumatic for them to do as well. In the context of the Holocaust, it took many people decades to talk about what happened to them. In some cases, like my own grandfather, he could not talk about what happened. It was just too difficult, too traumatic. He lost too many people. And when we think about contemporary genocide today, We see a lot of the same pain, trauma, but also the enormous burden that's on people's shoulders today.
Thank you, Ms. Kickler, for taking your time to do this interview with us. First, I want to start with some of the basics. Can you talk about why you wanted to do this project in the first place and how much resource went into it?
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. We felt that it was really important to focus on the plight of the Uyghurs because the scale of the crimes that were reportedly being committed against that community were so large and so severe that for an institution like ours that focuses on genocide and related crimes against humanity, we felt that it was imperative that we start analyzing it, identify what the crimes were that are occurring, help articulate what the risks are to the community, and help elevate the voices of the Uyghur community and put a spotlight on their dire human rights situation. We started working on the situation facing the Uyghurs over 2 years ago. We were very alarmed by the reports of large-scale mass incarceration, very concerned about the reports that the Uyghur community was being persecuted, cultural sites were being destroyed, religious sites destroyed, and very worrying reports around specific attacks on, in particular, Uyghur women and their reproductive capacity. So for 2 years, we have been working, studying, researching the available information that exists and working on the report that was released, while also undertaking other work privately to help advance the level of attention and policy understanding about what is happening to the Uyghur people. So as a center, we look at situations where we think that communities are being persecuted and targeted on the basis of their identity, usually looking at religious identity, ethnic identity, national identity. So we have looked at situations such as the Rohingya community in Burma, the Yazidi and other Iraqi minorities in Iraq who are targeted by the Islamic State. We've done similar analyses and legal analysis to try to understand the crimes that were being committed against those communities. And we do that work because, as an institution, we feel that it's incredibly important for the international community to heed the lessons of the past, the lessons of the failures to prevent the Holocaust in which Europe's Jewish community was targeted and persecuted. We often say that our mandate is to try to do for communities today what was not done for Jews during the Holocaust.
I noticed that the report said it was based on public information in the English language. So I'm wondering why English language only?
That's a great question. We wanted to be able to help tackle some of the allegations that exist that there is not sufficient information about the nature of the crimes that are actually occurring. And when you look at what is available and you look at what's available for foreign governments to be able to reach similar conclusions, despite the efforts that the Chinese government has taken and the really extensive efforts that they have done to try to block access to Xinjiang for independent monitors, for investigations, there is considerable information that is available. And so for us, we wanted to be able to show that even with that information that had been translated into English, and in those cases, we used the translation that was done by the researchers who had undertaken the initial work and found those sources, that one could reach this conclusion or the conclusions that we drew in our report. Often perpetrators will go to great lengths to try to deny the nature of their crimes or prevent information from getting out. And in this particular case, there is a lot of information, and there is sufficient information in our minds that it should really raise alarm bells for people around the world about what might be happening in Xinjiang. Every government commits to prevent genocide and to punish perpetrators. And also, in adhering to the responsibility to protect, the commitment, again, made by states is to protect their own people from crimes against humanity and genocide. So we have clear international articulations of a duty to prevent, a commitment to prevent. What that means is to really ensure that you are not creating or contributing to conditions in which genocide may occur. And given what we've outlined in the report and the concerns that we have, we believe that the Chinese government is failing in that regard at this particular moment. There are steps that they can take, immediate steps that they can take to rectify that. But unfortunately, we have not at this point seen them do that. So the Genocide Convention doesn't articulate specifically what the actual prevention obligations are, but in a situation where we believe that there are clear warning signs that genocide may be occurring and ongoing risks, we feel that there's been a breach then of that duty.
You talked about the Holocaust in your previous answers, so I'm just curious, how would you compare what's happening in Xinjiang right now to what happened back in the 1940s?
So we as an institution never draw direct comparisons between the Holocaust and any situation that's occurring, or between contemporary situations and each other. Each is unique. The commission of these crimes can look very different in different contexts. And out of respect for the survivors and the victims, both past and present, we don't make those types of comparisons. One thing that I think is important to note, though, when we think about where there might be common inflection points, it is the failure to act. It is the reality that there are clear warning signs. There were warning signs in the context of the Holocaust, where you saw a community that was increasingly dehumanized. You saw a community in which their rights and liberties were slowly taken away from them. In the context of Xinjiang, as our report talks about, similarly, the Uyghur community have had their rights infringed on. We believe that there are warning signs, and what we are urging people to do is to heed those lessons from the past and not make similar mistakes in terms of not acting to actually help protect vulnerable communities.
Would you call this genocide? Because we know that a lot of governments around the world, including the U.S. government, have labeled it genocide. What do you think?
I think what's really important to acknowledge is once we've reached the point in which one can make a determination and say that genocide has occurred, sadly that means that horrific crimes have already taken place. And it means that we as an international community have failed. It's really important that the United States and other governments have acknowledged the crimes that are occurring and have put a name to it. They have access to certain information, including additional intelligence information that we don't. As I said before, we're relying on publicly available information. And so from our perspective, it was important as we look again at that difficult question of genocidal intent that we stay as rigorous and careful as we could and therefore express our very, very grave concern that genocide may be occurring. So we, as the U.S. government and as other governments have said, are extremely concerned about what is taking place.
And how much faith do you have that the international community is going to step up and take more actions to stop this from happening?
This is, as we say in the report, unfortunately a very challenging situation. And I think it's really important that we ensure that concerns about human rights, concerns about these crimes, are front and center in broader conversations around what the policy response should be vis-a-vis China more broadly. The response needs to be an international one, working through multilateral institutions. We've now seen, for quite a long time, calls for something even as basic as an international investigation, allowing independent monitors to go and do fact-finding in Xinjiang, to learn about what is actually happening. If, as the Chinese government asserts, these crimes are not taking place, then why continue to prevent independent monitors from being able to actually go and assess that for themselves? There are steps that can be taken. People can be released. There could be due process enacted for those who are being detained. In terms of faith that this will happen, I think we have to always remain optimistic that change is possible, especially in a situation where there is such dire suffering.
Why do you think that the rest of China should pay more attention to what's happening in Xinjiang when, you know, the rest of the Han or the Chinese population can say, well, what's been done to them might not be done to us since we are the quote-unquote innocent ones?
It's a really important question, and it's also a really challenging question. If we look at the context even of the Holocaust, genocide happened within an environment And in some societies where you had neighbor even turn on neighborhood, you had a gradual process of trying to dehumanize people, to say that people were foreigners, to say that they were threats. You saw an effort to try to even vilify women, for example, in the context of the Holocaust, when we talk about Jews and Jewish women as well. And over time, that helped to create a mental sense of distance between people who actually, in many ways, shared a lot in common, and who were all, if we think about Germany or Poland, they were all Germans, they were all Poles. And in the context of China, where there are many different communities that exist, all within the broader umbrella of being Chinese and of China and part of China, it is really important to ensure that on a societal level, we're not fostering divisions and discrimination, and that we also recognize that some of the crimes that can be perpetrated, be it against the weaker community, could be perpetrated against others. One of the things that's important that we talk about in our report, and when we talk about what's happened to women, is around the use of forced IUDs and forced sterilization. Those are practices that have been perpetrated against Han women for decades, against all women in China. That is a crime that has impacted an unbelievably large number of people. And so there is, in some of the aspects of what is happening today to the weaker community, I think to a degree some shared and common experiences. And our hope is that a sense of common humanity would prevail, and that just as in the context of the Holocaust, where Jews were labeled as threats and foreigners and things along those lines, that there are efforts to counter those narratives and efforts to remind people that the actions of the few, if there are, for example, incidents of terrorism, as we talk about in the report, that that cannot cast an entire people then in that light. And we have to constantly be pushing back on efforts to try to take away individual identity, an individual's right to basic human dignity, human rights and respect. So when we talk about contemporary atrocities, in some cases we see a similar type of phenomenon effort undertaken to dehumanize a people and create a justification or a narrative, an us versus them. And in its most extreme, what that helps pave the way for is for actions that allow for mass imprisonment, in some cases, as we saw in the Holocaust, mass killing.
欢迎继续收看《美国观察》。马来西亚华裔创作人黄明志一首名叫《玻璃心》的 MV 在互联网上一度爆红，但是在中国的防火长城内一经发布就被下架，歌曲也被贴上了辱华的标签。在与美国之音的专访中，黄明志表示，自由不靠别人施舍，要自己去争取。一起来看一看。
对我来说是一个社会实验，就是我在写这首歌，我上传上去，哎，看会不会有什么反应。就是如果他把它删掉的话，就应验了这首歌嘛。因为其实不止我啊，就是你可以看到那些什么 H&M 啊，都被标榜说辱华反中这样子。连山上优雅日本 AV 女优穿的那个汉服露乳沟，然后就说她辱华了，就蛮多这样的例子吧。我看不止我吧，所以我觉得就是现在这个年代，我不知道有什么东西比辱华还要难的。 Hello， 美国之音的听众朋友、观众朋友，大家好，我是 Namely 黄明志，耶、yeah! ！其实这首歌我从头到尾我都没有解释过歌曲在表达什么，在针对什么，因为我也没有提到任何名字，也没有提到任何地名，甚至国名我也没有提到。这个创意呢，除了歌曲本身之外，观众的反应、互动，甚至你要有人会禁掉这首歌，会疯掉这首歌，也是创作的一部分，对我来说。
那么这首歌发布以后，有没有玻璃心碎一地的小粉红来骂你呢？
哎，其实我不喜欢叫人家小粉红这个字，我也没有提过这个字。一般上就是有啦，就是有一些所谓的爱国人士吧，他们会有来攻击，他们主要是说我辱华、反中啊这些东西吧。因为我是马来西亚人，那我们在那边的话，我们就被归类成华人。那你说我辱华，我本身就是华人，请问我是要辱我自己吗？就很怪啊。那反中也不可能，因为我在中国也有很多朋友啊，我不可能去反中，然后而且很怪，就是为什么我要去反整个国家呢？那国家没有得罪我、啊。
很多艺人他一听到这种辱华什么，他很紧张很害怕，然后就开始道歉。为什么你没有选择那样去做？
我觉得有两个原因吧。第一个，我没有做错，为什么要道歉？那第二个原因是因为道歉，很多人都道歉，可是也没用啊。你看哪一个人道歉的是有用的吗？没有用的。对啊，这个他们在这些人的标准里面是没有道歉这个东西的。而且再加上我觉得我没有错啊，为什么要道歉？我是用我的对社会的认知或者我个人的看法，言论自由嘛，就大家看法不一样而已，不代表看法不一样就代表我错，我也没说你错。
我听到你以前也说过，有很多人给你正面的反馈啊，包括有一个来自中国大陆的网友做了一个这个 video， 你说你看到他那个视频，看着看着就哭了，为什么会那么感动？
我看到感动的原因主要是因为很多人都没有看到我背后的努力啊，因为我在马来西亚的时候有很多，我对抗很多社会的一些不公不义，还有一些制度啊。我从这个东西从十几年前我开始创作就开始在提这些东西，然后可是每次提我每次都出事情，可是我还是坚持要表达这个，因为这个东西对我来说是它有问题。那很多人说哎，敏感啊，敏感就不要提，对我来说敏感就代表它有问题才会敏感嘛，因为我不是政治人物，对我来说我是创作人，那我能透过的就是作品跟一些文字或者一些言论或者拍摄的方式来表达这些东西。那可是我表达的时候，很多人就会说哎，你是故意啊，你在炒作啊，你在借题发挥啊，或者你想博红啊，要干嘛，就是会有人这样骂。反而是一个外国人，对我来说他是外国人，他是一个中国大陆的网友，他把我之前的事情慢慢讲出来，然后讲我，他找一些证据来说哎，我不是为了可能要流量啊，要赚钱啊，或者要什么。
他没了台湾市场，老实说也能活下去，他从来就是一个我手写我心的人，
就是他看到我背后的努力跟我的牺牲啊，因为我为这些东西我进了监牢很多次，那被抓很多次，被关了很多次，那可是反而是被一个外国人，一个素未谋面的人，他把我的事情整理出来，然后把我的要表达的东西表达出来。我看了那个影片我觉得很感动，而且是一个用中国口音的人讲出来的话，对，我就觉得我这么多年的努力有被看到，所以我感动。
那你自己也说过，说你的音乐跟电影创作走的都是很畸形的路，会惹到所谓的主流。为什么这些年来你会选择一条这样难走的路走，而没有选择一条比较轻松的路，娱乐大家就好了？
因为对我来说，创作啊，不管是电影还是音乐，或者是我的 MV 也好，对我来说是生活的一个反应，你知道吗？就是它是一个从生活映射到作品上，所以对我来说，生活是包括各种方面的，就是我们生活上会有一些社会上的东西，会有政治上的东西，会有情爱，然后会有友情、亲情、爱情，会有一些小确幸，会有一些愤怒，会批评，有一些长辈啊，他们会担心我，就说：“哎，你干嘛不写一些？”开心的歌，他们说为什么你不要好好的写歌赚钱就好。可是对我来说，我创作的不管是批判也好，戏虐也好，讽刺情情爱爱都好，那个对我来说都是好好写歌，我没有不好写歌，我都是很认真很用心的去表达生活上的点点滴滴，不管你是骂的嬉笑怒骂的，我都很好好的很认真的去写啊。
你也很公开的说你会跟这个民主自由站在一起，为什么会如此看重这两样价值呢？
我认为是普世价值吧，就是一个天赋人权嘛，就天赋的，不是，就我们本来就应该要有这些人权，这些民主自由，这个本来就应该有。我是属于创作人，那当然我对这个东西会更敏感了。就有些我想讲个话，我想拍个电影，我想唱一首歌，然后都会被限制的话，那我的自由在哪里？对我来说，这些东西是最重要，是最基本的吧。所以你说自由的问题、民主的问题，它本来就在我们身上，不是你施舍我才应该有，不是这样的。
3、2、1，暴力薪水满地。
虽然我的作品不是每一个东西大家都能接受，但是我希望我们这个中文的群体吧，就是可以对不同的声音更有包容度、更有接纳度。这个就是为什么我那么喜欢在台湾发表我作品的原因，因为这边的包容度是很大的。那我希望世界各地的人都能够有那个包容度去接受不一样的声音跟不一样的立场，我觉得这个才是真正的自由。
那因为这首歌你跟 Kimberly 在中国被禁，那你们会后悔就是发表这个作品吗？
我不觉得我被禁，我觉得被禁的是不能看到这些作品的人。
2021年是美国太空探索收获巨大的一年。NASA 革命性的空间望远镜韦伯发射成功，它将探索宇宙成型早期的模样。而此前，毅力号漫游车抵达了火星，传递了航天器着陆的惊人图像。一起来看一看。
Basically, with this microphone, we'll open a new area of Mars exploration.
We can now say that human beings have flown a rotorcraft on another planet.
Now that its science goals are complete, the time has come for Osiris.
These two sister missions both aim to understand how Venus became an inferno-like world capable of melting lead at the surface.
This is a huge step forward in...what the science community has wanted for more than 50 years, which is to bring samples back from the Red Planet.
It's different from Hubble in that it's an infrared optimized telescope. And so this means it will allow us to peer through clouds of gas and dust in our own galaxy where stars and planets are being born today.
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们明天再见。